Morning, everyone. Good to see you all. First of all, before I get started, I would like to thank and welcome back our wonderful Jean and Mr. Damien and Zoe. You know, so please, do you guys mind standing up? Yeah. And so they are in Melbourne. They used to be here, but they're back with their family in Melbourne, and so they're visiting. And I think when they left, Zoe was smaller than 6 months, and she's now nearly two. Wow. You know, and so please put your hands together for them again. Thank you. So I'd like to welcome everybody again to C3 Fremantle. It's great that we could all gather. Hope you're all well. And you've just joined us at a time when we're doing a new series. So I welcome everybody here. If you're new, welcome to, my name is Stephen McGuenzi. And it's good to be in church. I want to just emphasize with this at the cross thing. In fact, two things for those people that families that have got young people, please do your best to get your kids to go to Youth Alive. It's just an opportunity for them to be in the room where God is doing stuff, and that God might, you know, drop something in your kid's life that will affect them for a very, very long time. So my great encouragement and strong encouragement is that get your kids to the Youth Alive event. And most importantly, if you've got young people that you know, just invite them and get them to see Mr. Burt. And they've got a team of leaders here that will be able to just, you know, input things, impart things into their lives. But really, just to get to Youth Alive. And then, of course, at this cross, this is a big deal. We've got one of our own that's going to be at one of the stations. And so please make sure when you get to station number 10, you'll see our own Pastor Charlie there. So please put your hands together for him. So this is an easy way to go. I don't think it will take long for you to do the walk. But you can take it, do a dinner event, take your friends, do the stations, and then you go out somewhere to eat. Those that don't know the Lord, just ask them and say, hey, do you mind, let's do this together, and then we'll go for a meal afterwards. So this is a fantastic thing, the combined churches of Fremantle and Coburn. Now, if I can be honest, I was supposed to be doing station number 9, but I chickened out. I really did. I mean, it caused me so much anxiety that I'm like, ooh. And I recorded and recorded and I rehearsed over 10 times, but couldn't do it. And so Pastor Charlie had to sort of like speak to Adam on my behalf. So if you're ever in trouble, Pastor Charlie's the man to see, you know. He'll get you out of a bind, you know. But anyway, this morning we're starting up a new series called coming from a book. The series is based on a book by John Bevere, Honor's Reward. Now, John explores the transformative power of honor, which is obviously a principle overlooked in our contemporary culture. And so he reveals how embracing honor aligns us with God's value system and opens the door. Do you mind? Can someone take this, Shiresh? Thanks. And it reminds us that honor opens the door to God's blessings in our lives. If you are not honorable, the door remains shut to you. But if you're honorable, it just opens up doors. So I'm just going to ask three people, and maybe you can talk amongst yourselves, and just ask, you know, this question I would like to ask is that, before we get a rolling, is three quick questions. And then I may ask somebody, you know, to just share their opinion. From your perspective, what is honor and how do you personally define it? So I've essentially, from the message, I've been able to just drill down some questions that are there for your Connect Group discussion and for your personal reflection as well. So please, you know, just take the time to review this in your Connect groups, but also just for your own personal reflection, prayerfully consider the questions, I guess, that have been that have been asked. Because sometimes when we come around the Word of God, especially when we come around books, it is always an opportunity for the Lord to wash out some things in our lives. You know, just as they sift gold or wheat, going through this, when you actually go through the questions, allows God to sift your heart to see whether you got some good stuff in there, and then any bad stuff, he's going to sort of like, it'll be wiped away by the wind of his Holy Spirit. So, what is honor, and how do you personally define it? And then the second question I'd like you to reflect on is, can you share a moment or example where you witness honor being displayed? What stood out to you about that situation? And the last question is, how do you think honor is expressed in today's world, especially in your relationships, in your family, in your workplace, or in your community? So just reflect on that, and I'll just ask Pastor Onami to just come and maybe answer question number one for us, just put on the spot. Bert, do you mind giving her a mic? Yeah. Yeah, so let's just go with question number one. Thank you. So what is honor from your perspective? You've only got 60 seconds. Well, Bert took all the time. So
wow, okay, honor. That's a difficult one. I think for me, honor is about giving someone or something the true weight it deserves. Does that make sense?
Well,
that's
your perspective,
it.
Yes.
Yeah, from my perspective.
Well, that's good. Well, thank you very much. Is that it?
That's the best I could do.
Okay. Oh, now you can take the mic. Please put your hands together for. This thing is a difficult, or can be a difficult thing in the times that we live in, because the culture will tell us that we shouldn't honor, that we should always be rebellious, that we should always make it difficult for those that are in charge, that why would you bestow honor upon anybody? And I think that one of the key things that we need to note is that the enemy has done well in causing us to be rebellious, because he understands that when we don't give things their true weight or their true value, there is something that we miss out in our lives. In Romans chapter 13, verse number 7, it says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute," which is tax. Basically, pay a tax. So the tax goes to the Australian Taxation Office, and they collect it mostly every fortnight without fail. And so we don't have a problem giving tribute to the tax office, but perhaps we've got a problem giving custom, perhaps to our wives, to our children, giving honor to those, to the elderly. Back in the day, when we grew up, and those were when we grew up, is when you saw an adult in the bus and you were on the bus and an adult came in, automatically you were taught that you have to stand up. Now they have to put signs to remind everybody. They got to put a sign up. We just knew it that, hey, if an adult steps up, you offer the seat. Or if a lady comes in or somebody that is frail, you offer your seat to them. Nowadays, they put signs, you know, to sort of like, because that tells us that they recognize that people will not do this automatically. They will not honor automatically. This is what Second John chapter 1, verse 5 to 8 says, "I'm writing to remind you, dear friends, that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Love means doing what God has commanded us, and he has commanded us to love one another, just as you heard from the beginning. I say this because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They deny that Jesus Christ came in a real body. Such a person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked so hard to achieve. Be diligent so that you receive your full reward. It's very easy for us to miss out on those things that are supposed to be ours. So we have to constantly be watching. We have to constantly check ourselves to make sure that our heart is in alignment with what God has said over our lives. In Mark chapter 6, and then we'll get into it, verse 1 to 6, it says, Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed, he's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went from village to village teaching the people. Now we have to listen to the words of Jesus. He says, a prophet is honored everywhere except his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. Because if we read the preceding chapter, which is Mark chapter 5, Jesus is the time he crossed over the lake and he went to the other side and there was the demon-possessed man. He had thousands of demons, you know, really controlled by demons. Jesus healed the demon-possessed man, exorcised those demons from him, and the guy became sane again. Then on the way back to, he went back where he had come from. He was surrounded by so many people, and this is the time where Jesus healed the lady with the issue of blood. So she pursued, Jesus was pursued by this lady because she said to herself, if I only touch the hem of his garment, then I'll be made well. Because she recognized that there must be something about this person that if I do this, then something is going to happen to me. At the same time, there was Jairus, the teacher. He came to him and said, Master, my daughter is unwell. Could you please come and pray for her so that she would be well? So it is on the way to Jairus' house that Jesus healed the lady with the issue of blood. And he got the news that, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. And the Lord turned to him and said, hey, just believe. And eventually Jesus went and raised that girl back to life. Because he recognized as a Pharisee, as a teacher of the law, he recognized that there was something on Jesus' life. And so he approached him knowing that if I come to Jesus, something is going to happen to me. But when it was the people from his own family, they basically said, oh, you know what, this can't be true. They scoffed at him and said, isn't this old boy's son? Isn't that old Mary's son? What does he know about all the things that, you know, all the things that he's telling us? And it was their unbelief and their not honoring who he was that caused them to miss out on the full blessing that God had for them. And so what is honor? The Oxford Dictionary defines honor as is to regard with great respect or high esteem. We know what honor is in our life. If you look at if you have a Mont Blanc pen, and a big pen, we know that the Mont Blanc pen, you will give that a lot of respect because of the value of the pen. Mont Blanc pens, sometimes they can cost thousands of dollars. And so you are going to value that pen because you know its value. Whereas a big pen, they probably cost a dollar. And just like, whatever, I can buy 1,000 of those. And so this is what to honor somebody is to regard them with respect or high esteem. And so culture is important in our lives. And so culture is essentially the way we do things, the accepted practices in our families, in our teams, our businesses, our church, and our society. So if we can imagine, you know, a restaurant culture. So if you go to a restaurant, there is a culture or a practice of tipping after your meal. You got to tip. Now, in other countries, they mandate. Here, we're so lucky that they don't mandate that you got to tip 20%. And if you go to America, God bless them, you got to tip between 10 and 20% of your bill. Now, the reason why they want you to do that, of course, is perhaps to show appreciation for the service you've received or to supplement their wages because they don't get a lot. So you're also supplementing their wages. So if the service was poor, but the food was good, you might tip on the lower end of the scale. But if the service was good and the food was good, the amount that you will tip is going to be traditionally, is going to be obviously a bit more towards the high end of the scale, 10, 20%. Because you understand that there is a discretion when it comes to rewards. You decide. So if the service was good, if when you went into the restaurant and they you are welcome, sir, welcome, ma'am, it's great to see you, and then they take you to your table and they push the chair, you sit, can I get you some water? Would you like sparkling or still? Then you say, no, I want sparkling, and they bring it, and they're just constantly fussing over you. And the food was great, and the service was great. They'll come and check after you and say, just want to check, how is your meal? Because normally, the person that is serving you is not the same person that comes to ask you how your meal is. Now, understand that all of that is a science. They're doing that to manipulate you so that you can perhaps, one, you like the restaurant, but also so that you can tip at the end. So people are very wise, but they do it out of a heart of hospitality because they want to serve you. And so when you are served well, you are more inclined to do what? To tip. Because the tipping is at your discretion. That is the exact same thing when it comes to us dealing with the Lord, is that our salvation is secure in the Lord. But in terms of the rewards that we get, will all be dependent upon the honor that we bestow upon the Lord. And so I wonder, what culture are you building in your life? What culture are you building in your family, in your teams, in your business? What culture are we building in our church? This is why we go to great lengths to ensure that when people come, or you know, for those that serve or volunteer within our church, they're honored. And that's what it's called, eh? We want to honor. That's the word that we use. We want to bestow respect and honor for them because we esteem and we value the contribution that they're making. So we must build a culture of honor in our lives, because in our contemporary culture, we have thrown aside the culture of honor. That's not necessarily the first thing that we do, but that's something that we need to be able to restore. And so I ask the question, why is honor difficult for us? Honor can be difficult for us is because familiarity breeds contempt. The more we get to know someone or somebody or something closely, especially their flaws, routines, or weaknesses, we tend to lose respect for them. Now, I heard once Benny Hinn many years ago, you know, back in the cassette tape days, and he sort of like said this. He said, you need to have more grace for your leader, for those that work, you know, with leaders in your life. You need to have more grace for them because you recognize that after a while, these are just human beings with issues. They've got flaws. And it's quite easy that because you recognize that, oh my goodness, this person is flawed, I'm going to discount what they say a little bit. And so that's why we need more grace for one another. And so why we find honor difficult is because familiarity breeds contempt. The people who grew up with Jesus became familiar with him, and so they couldn't recognize his divinity because they were stuck on his humanity. If we're going to build a culture of honor in our lives, we need to make sure that we don't get too familiar with people. Because, you know, there are times where even when it comes to God, we're listening to worship music. The first time you listen to a song, you're like, oh, it's crazy, and you're crying. And then probably the 10th or 15th time, you're just like, I don't know about that song. And so we can easily become familiar with the Lord. We have to understand from the scripture that was said by Bert in Revelation that when we approach him, yes, we approach him in confidence, but we have to know that he is the king. The response of those 24 elders and the four living creatures was to constantly be bowing to the Lord in honor and reverence to him. That tells us that they never became familiar with who God was. And so to build this culture of honor, Gary Cassie says, the first thing we need to understand is the difference between respect and honor. And we shouldn't mix them up. Respect is earned. Honor is given. We may not respect a person, their beliefs, their ideas, or their expectations, but if they have authority, they deserve honor. And so we are now in Australia, we're in the political cycle, you know, everything is moving, you know, lots of ads, people telling us what they're going to do. You might have your preference, whatever preference you have, but there's some leaders that you see on the TV and you're like, oh, I can't stand that person. But I bet you what, the moment he walks through that door, all of us are what? Standing up. We will all stand because we recognize the authority of the position. We may not like the person, but we respect the authority of the position that will get us to give them the respect that is due to them. We struggle with honor. One of the other reasons why we may struggle with honor is because of offense. Somebody might have offended you. And therefore, whatever they say, whatever they may have said to you, whatever they may have done, you're super offended. And so you discount everything they say. So even though they've got something good to give you or something positive to say, you're just like, yeah, I can't be bothered. And we do that a lot, especially when it comes to our relationships, if you're in marriage with your spouse, because you're ticked off at them, they've done something, and they want to come and, you know, say some stuff to you, just like, oh, get stuffed. Now, I don't know whether you don't do that in your marriage, but I'm just saying that it's quite easy. That, as important as that primary relationship is, that's the one where dishonor can easily take place, where we don't recognize the authority of each of the positions in that relationship. I recall a time, being familiar or offended can cause us to miss the plan or blessings of God for our lives. If I can just say beforehand, when you read this book, The Honor's Reward, and as we go through this series, I will tell you up front, you will be offended. Something is going to annoy you. So I might as well just tell you and pray that God continues to bless you. But the reason I say that is because sometimes the thing that the Lord asks of us is hard. And so that's why we need to go to him and say, Lord, can you please help me? We need to go to the Lord and ask for him to help us. My grandmother in 2018, she said to me, oh, look, I want you to take this 5-liter bottle of oil and take it and give it to the pastor down the road, her pastor. Now, there were some things that were said, the pastor said about my grandmother that I didn't like. And so like a loyal grandson, I took up for my grandmother. And I'm like, nah, he said this about you. He can get stuffed, blah, 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 blah. And so I took the battle. I took on my grandmother's battle. And I was just like, no way. They've said you're like this. They've said all these nasty things about you. And then in my mind, I'm saying, after all that you did for that church, you know, after all you did. And so anyway, she just says, no, just take the bottle of oil. And I remember calling a few people, what should I do? You know, because I was conflicted. What should I do? I called my wife. What should I do? Eventually, I said to my grandmother, all right, because it's you, out of deference to you, I'm going to go and do it. And so I went there. You know, I was gristling, you know, but I went. And as I went there, I went and I, you know, knocked on his door and I said, hey, da-da-da-da. I'm back, I'm visiting my grandmother, and I just wanted to give you this bottle of oil. And he sort of like accepted. He was very gracious, very thankful. And then at the end, he says, oh, before you go, let me pray for you. And he prayed for me. And it is in that moment as he prayed for me, the things that he prayed for me, that it hit me that I was just about to miss out on a blessing from this man. He prayed the things he prayed for me is that you will pray for people and they will be healed and a whole host of other things. It is in that moment that my heart realized that, wow, because I was going to be offended by what this man had said, I would have missed out. Now, it's quite easy for us to miss out on the things of God because of offense in our lives. Naaman, in I think 2 Kings chapter 5, was a great man, a warrior, but he had leprosy. And he was told by the servant, go, look, why don't you go to Samaria? There's a prophet there and he will heal you. And so he went there with lots of gifts, 150 pounds of gold, lots of silver and 10 sets of clothing. And so he went there in anticipation that he was going to be healed. And so he gets there and eventually he rolls up to the prophet's house. And the prophet, he would think, because this was a very important person, that the prophet was going to come out and bow and say, oh, great Naaman, let me pray for you. He just sent a message with his messenger, say, go and wash 7 times in the Jordan and your skin will be restored and you'll be healed of your leprosy. And he got super offended and he said, nah, there's no way. What is this? You know, you should have come out and all of that. And it was his servants that said to him, if this man had asked you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? Just because this is a simple thing, why don't you do it? Eventually, he did what? He complied. He went. He washed in the Jordan 7 times, and his skin was restored. Peter in the boat, they had been fishing all night. And understanding that these are technical fishermen, they know what fishing is all about. They've been doing it all their lives. They couldn't catch anything. And the Lord said, cast your nets the other side. And he was just like, you know what, man? We've been doing this all night. But then he says, because of what you said, we will do it. And look at the result, the blessing that came upon them when they deferred to the Lord. We also struggle with honor because of the expectations for things to be done in a certain way. We know that in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, nevertheless, the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. But there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the Jordan River, will be filled with glory. It goes on to talk about the things that were going to happen. And then in verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, so on and so forth. These people were expecting that when God would come to save them from the oppression of the Romans, he was going to come maybe carrying, you know, with all the artillery that was available in those days. But he just came as a male child, as a man, and they could not accept that. And so sometimes what happens is that our own expectations can get in the way of the blessing of God because we don't see the things. We're so hung up on wanting God to do things a certain way that if he doesn't do them that way, we miss out on the blessing of God in our lives. And I wonder, why did God say, honor your father and your mother? Because this one is a command, not a suggestion. Tim Keller says, it's respect for your parents that is the basis for every other kind of respect and every other kind of authority in your life. Because honoring our mother and father teaches us that God has placed people in authority over us. They are not perfect by any stretch. But God is teaching us a principle that as we learn to honor our parents, we also learn to honor other authorities in our lives. Sometimes parents stuff it up, and of course, you know, not all of them treat their children well. But that can obviously get into the, you know, that can get in the way of us honoring them. And I think that when we face these issues where we're having difficulties honoring our parents, regardless of how they treated you, this is it, it's a command. It's not a suggestion. One of the things we have to do is that we have to forgive them. We have to continuously forgive them. We have to pray for them and ask the Holy Spirit to help us speak well of them. Then we need to demonstrate to our parents what healthy love looks like. Because it's quite easy for us to just sort of like say, oh, my parents were terrible, my parents were this. But I do think that God, you see, this is why the scriptures and the words of Jesus are very difficult sometimes for us. Because it says that if somebody smacks you on the one cheek, he says, give them the other cheek. Because within us, within you and I, there's this desire for revenge. There's this desire that if you hurt me, I want to hurt you back. But Christ has introduced a different culture where he says, no. Sometimes you got to do what? You got to let go. You got to forgive. And it's hard for us. We cannot do that on our own strength. It is going to require the Holy Spirit to help us in our lives. And part of the things that we may do at times as we're building this series is we can have in our lives what I would call transactional honor. And that is, we only honor somebody because of something that we can get from them. Our heart is not really into it. Or we just begrudgingly do things, but our heart is not in it. And so when we live like this, we stay at the surface level of relationships. And we never really engage our hearts so that we can experience the richness of relationship. So we don't want to have transactional honor in our lives. We want to give honor where it is due. Now, these are hard things to do, but by the Holy Spirit, if he leads us, if he guides us, if we allow him to do that, he will help us to honor somebody with everything that we have. That we give them the full respect, because when we don't, I think we are robbing ourselves of something. And lastly, as we finish off and just get the team to come back up, I just want us to, there's a saying that say, and I want us all to be